Okay, Wabgeisha Grice, you know of what you write, because what you write is set basically in the area you were born and grew up in. Am I right?
More or less, yeah. I grew up near Parry Sound in Wasauksing First Nation, right on Georgian Bay. With the last two books, Moon of the Turning Leaves and Moon of the Crusted Snow, they're set, farther north. But I've spent a lot of time in Northern Ontario. I live in Sudbury now. Both my Anishinaabe and Canadian roots go deep in the north. My mom is originally from Kapuskasing, so I consider it an honor to be able to write about this part of the world and to, I think, put a spotlight on some of the great people that live up here. Even though they're entirely fictional circumstances, right, in my books, it's just really inspiring to tap into the spirit of Northern Ontario for sure.
Yeah, and surely when you are creating those characters in your mind and putting them onto paper, they've got to be composites of people you've met along the way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. A lot of the main characters are always composites of people that I grew up with, either friends or relatives, people who I admire and respect, and I think do good things for community and for family and so on. And just, it's an opportunity to highlight, I think, the good that is predominant in Indigenous communities, especially. And also, it's on the other hand, it's a challenge when you're from a small community to write fictional characters because, the tendency of some of the people is to find familiarity in them, and that can be problematic at times if the traits of characters are favorable or unfavorable, right? So it's important for me to make them composites for sure.
Let's talk about this one now. Okay, the Moon of the Turning Leaves. Is it fair to call it a sequel to Moon of the Crusted Snow?
Oh yeah, it's fair to call it a sequel. It's not an immediate part two. Like, it doesn't pick up right after the end of Moon of the Crusted Snow. It's set farther into the future. But it is a look to what potentially happened next after the Moon of the Crusted Snow. Yeah.
Let's not give too much of it away, but give me the Coles Notes version on what Moon of the Turning Leaves is about, please.
Yeah, for sure. So at the end of Moon of the Crusted Snow, the community that experiences this world-ending blackout moves to a new settlement that they create on their own. So Moon of the Turning Leaves finds them in the settlement 10 years later, but with some additional challenges, some new challenges. The natural resources around them are starting to deplete, and they recognize as Anishinaabeg that their ancestors would have migrated to allow the land to replenish itself and to, go from settlement to settlement for that reason. So the characters in this place, many of them who have survived since the first story, recognize that it's time to move on. And it's also explained in the first book that they're originally from the north shore of Lake Huron, and they've been displaced to far northern Ontario by the government of Canada. So they want to sort of reverse that, and they set out on this exploratory mission to go south to see what's left of the world, to see if they can reconnect with their original homeland in hopes of eventually creating a mass exodus from their current home back to their original homeland. So yeah, it's a story of a journey over the course of a summer, following six people as they traverse the northern Ontario landscape.
How important is it to get this type of story, and based on Indigenous people and Indigenous experiences, even though it's fictionalized as in kind of apocalyptic, but how important is it to get this literature out there?
Well, I think it's really important to, I think, provide snapshots of what the values and I think characteristics and objectives of everyday Indigenous people are. For me, I consider that a big responsibility, and I have to do that very, very carefully at the same time. But you know, I will always want to celebrate who we are as Anishinaabek, and I want to show the good that, you know, as mentioned, prevails in a lot of communities. And I think it's an opportunity to show, you know, the partnerships we can make with all of our neighbors, no matter what background they are, right? So I think fiction can go a long way, because I can sort of make specific choices about what I want to show about Indigenous people, how I want to show their communities working, and really, you know, show my imagined future of good partnerships, good relationships, and most importantly, the relationship we have with the land around us and how we need to nurture that.
Now, I'm an avid follower of Wabgishig Rice, mostly on Facebook, and I understand that right now you're brushing up on your Indigenous language skills.
I am, yeah, and thanks, Bob. I'm an avid follower of you on social media, too. I am going to go back to school this fall. I've been accepted into Georgian College's Anishinaabemowin and Program Development Program. And, you know, I've had a decent understanding of Anishinaabemowin for most of my life, but I'm not a fluent speaker. And that's always been a goal of mine, is to become a fluent speaker. And this is a good opportunity for me to take a step in that direction. And I think to spend, you know, the next part of my life really focused on the language of our people, and trying to, I think, apply some of my communication skills to that kind of learning, too.
You have three sons that you can apply that to as well.
Yeah, that's the biggest motivating factor for sure. You know, the opportunity to share the language with the next generation within my own family is it's exciting. It's also very daunting, but, you know, it really fills my heart. And you know, I'm looking forward to going on this journey with them and with my wife.
You're going to be in Timmins on April 6th at the main branch of the library. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, I'll be sharing some of Moon of the Turning Leaves. I'll do a reading from it, then, you know, answer questions about it, and really just have a visit with the community there. And I'll have some books available for people if they're interested in getting copies. It's really special to go back to Timmins, because my very last public event before the pandemic was at the library at the end of February in 2020. So this kind of like closes a circle in some ways on this journey with the sequel. And that was just such a wonderful experience back then in February of 2020 that I'm really looking forward to being a part of the community again, and really celebrating our relationship and what we can do together for sure.
Is there anything else you want to tell us?
Well, I just, you know, would like to give thanks to readers across Northern Ontario. You know, the landscape that I envision for both Moon of the Crested Snow and Moon of the Turning Leaves is very much, you know, in the realm of Timmins, you know, to the north of there. And I think the big city that's explored in Moon of the Turning Leaves is, you know, inspired by Timmins in some ways, you know, geographically anyways. So there are some strong connections, and I'm just really honored and grateful if people from the region, you know, want to take their time with the story. It really means a lot to me.
Wabgishig Rice, Chimigwich, thank you for your time and for doing
Chimigwich,
this.
Chimigwich, Bob.
And
great to talk to you.
Yeah, Gwich. You too. Take care. All right.
You too.
Thanks, Wab. I'll probably post the entire interview up with my web story, the audio of it.
Okay.
Because you
awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot more in there than I can use in a 3-minute newscast, but that's what's nice
sure.
about posting audio of the interview. I'm going to try to see you on the 6th when you're in town.
Okay. Awesome.
Maybe at the library. Maybe we can get together for a beer and a bite to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be around anyways, coming up with the whole family. So, we'll be in touch and we'll definitely meet up.
Okay. Good stuff. Thanks, Wab.
Yeah. Take care, Bar.
Yeah. You
Bob,
too.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.